a wet week, yeah?
Oh, my goodness.
How many inches of rain did we get? Did anyone chart that? How many inches did we get this week? Anyone know? 2.7, more than that. Let's just say we got a lot of rain, you know? As I think about it, I'm reminded of that kid's song. Some of you who go back to Sabbath school times will remember. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. And the church on the hill stood fast. I'm glad we're on a hill. Amen?
Oh, my goodness. Saw some of those pictures. I have a classmate from Real End Academy who has a nursery in Guerneville. And I don't think she has a nursery anymore because it has wiped it out before. But just those pictures are unbelievable. Even here, around here, there's a lot of water. Well, I want you to use your imagination this morning. You recognize this? This is our local McKinleyville Safeway. I want you to imagine this very Safeway, and you are standing in front out there of the Safeway, and you're watching people as they come out from grocery shopping. You have been given the assignment of asking people a certain question as they exit Safeway. The question that you are going to ask people is this: what is a Seventh-day Adventist? Now, of course, you are polite and you preface this by saying, would you have time just to spend a few seconds answering a simple question? And there are some people who say, no, I would rather not get involved. But you do have some people who venture a response to the question, what is a Seventh-day Adventist? And the answers you get, oh my, are they interesting. What is a Seventh-day Adventist? I don't think they believe in the resurrection because they worship on Saturdays and not Sundays. Seventh-day Adventist? I think they eat only vegetables and soybeans. I don't think they eat any meat. Adventist, I don't think they believe in the Bible because I've heard that they have their own prophet. Seventh-day Adventist, aren't they the people who don't believe in blood transfusions? Seven-day Advent, isn't that some sort of rock group? I would imagine that you would find out that there are some very interesting answers, and you would walk away that, particularly because you are a Seventh-day Adventist or acquainted with them, you would walk away and say, there's a lot of confusion when it comes to what is a Seventh-day Adventist. Today we're going to begin a new series. And in this series, we are going to look at what Seventh-day Adventist Christians are and what they, I should say, we stand for. Let's pray. Loving Father, may your Spirit speak this morning. May our hearts and minds be receptive. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Going back to 1956, some of you weren't even born then, but for a fossil like me, I was around. In 1956, there was a TV game show that was inaugurated called To Tell the Truth. And this was a very interesting TV show. It involved a panelist of celebrity panel guys and gals and a host. And what the direction of this show was is that there were some people who had unique either occupations or experiences in life. There were three of them. One of them was the true person, and two of them were imposters. And these pretenders would field questions from the celebrity panelists. And the celebrity panelists were supposed to guess which is the true person and which... If they knew the true person, then they wouldn't have to worry about who the imposters were. And these imposters would convincingly mislead, because they would know who the true person was and what his occupation was. So they would be very misleading and would try to trick and fool the panelists. And after the panelists were allowed to ask questions for a period of time, then it came time to vote on which one, number one, number two, or number three, was the real whatever. And so they would cast their votes. And there would be a time that was very interesting. We were, who are watching the show, would all sit on the edge of our seats wondering which is the real one. We had determined in our mind probably who was the fake and who was the real one. And it came that moment when the game show host said, "Will the real," and you fill in the blank, "please stand up." And there would be a few moments where someone would kind of fake like it was them, and then they would sit down, and then someone else would, and it wasn't them. And then finally, one would stand up, that he was the true, he was the real person that they were trying to guess. And in many ways, they would fool the panel of celebrities. In this series that we are going to be involved in, I am asking, will the real Adventist please stand up? What makes a real Adventist? If Adventists are viewed as people who don't believe in the resurrection, who eat only soybeans and vegetables, and who don't believe in blood transfusions, then we have an image problem. So in the series, we're going to look at who are Seventh-day Adventists. Who are they? What do they stand for and believe? And I'm going to do it in an intentionally positive, upbeat, and encouraging way. Now, to look at who Seventh-day Adventists are in an intentionally positive way can sometimes be challenging because we have a lot of negative voices. A lot of negative voices today. Maybe it's that Adventism is reflecting modern culture, where there is so much negativism and bitterness and hatred in our politics and in our race relationships here in America. And I wish every Seventh-day Adventist, I wish this so sincerely, I wish every Seventh-day Adventist, we all did a better job of being obedient to Philippians 2:15, which says that we are to shine like stars in a dark night. There should be something different about Seventh-day Adventist Christians than people in the world. I believe that. The Adventist denomination is not perfect or even close to it. There are people who see things quite differently and disagree vigorously. I am glad that this church does not demand that everyone be a cookie-cutter Seventh-day Adventist. I am glad that people study and have differences of opinion. I think that's very, very healthy. The Adventist church is not perfect, because it's made up of people, human beings like you and me. And rather than focusing on differences and disagreements and anything negative, I am going to, in this series, focus on the positive. Because a long time ago, I made my mind up that this church, as a human organization, even though it is defective, because all human organizations are, that I was going to use my effort and influence and abilities as a Seventh-day Adventist pastor to bring positive change from within the church. And I have had 7 pastor friends of mine who I went to school with, either in college and seminary, decide that they were not going to do that, and they left the Seventh-day Adventist Church because they found something that they didn't agree with in it. And I have intentionally said, I am not going to do that. This is my church, and I'm going to bring change from within. This is my 41st year as a Seventh-day Adventist pastor. My wife is laughing because she says, that just means, Ron, you're old. And in 41 years of pastoring now, I have seen a lot of good, and I've seen some negative things in the Seventh-day Adventist denomination. I have seen some of the most wonderful people, I believe, in the entire world who are Seventh-day Adventist Christians. People who are joyous, who are giving, who are others-centered, who are upbeat and encouraging and would do anything for someone else. And I praise God for the many people that I've seen in the Seventh-day Adventist Church that are just cream of the crop, wonderful, wonderful people. I've also seen Adventists who are negative and combative and who have done damage to the cause of a God of love. I've seen all kinds of Adventists in 41 years, but this is my church, and I love it, warts and pimples and all. And it will be my church until the day I die. I love this description of the church in Acts of the Apostles, page 12. Enfeebled and defective as it may appear, the church is the one object which God bestows in a special sense His supreme regard. It is the theater of His grace. Oh, I like that. We are demonstrations of God's grace. And people are looking at the way that we act and we talk and the way that we treat people. And may we be a theater of the grace and love of God. Now, I do not believe that only Seventh-day Adventists will be in heaven. Absolutely not. Seventh-day Adventism is just one of the brand names of Christianity, and there will be no denominations in heaven. There will only be those who are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And God's true church, His true people, are made up from every nation, kindred, tongue and people. And we will all be there. We won't be Baptists. We won't be Adventists. We won't be Pentecostals. We will be those redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. However, this side of heaven, I do believe that God has raised up a group of people that He has given a special mission to. And that group of people is called the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And I believe that He raised these people up, He raised us up for a particular mission. And I'm going to share a passage with you. And although I do not believe that this passage applies only to Seventh-day Adventists, I do believe it does apply to the Seventh-day Adventist Church. 1 Peter 2, verse 9, contemporary English version. But you are God's chosen and special people. You are a group of royal priests and a holy nation. God has brought you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Now you must tell all the wonderful things to others that He has done for you. Once you had no identity as a people, now you are God's people. I want to briefly share with you how the Seventh-day Adventist denomination came to be. This will be a very quick survey, but I think there are some important points to understand, and some of you may not have heard this history before. Seventh-day Adventism's historical roots can be traced back to February 15, 1782. That was the year that a man by the name of William Miller was born. When Miller was 30 years old, he became disenchanted with the Christianity that he saw around him. And he adopted a religious philosophy called deism. Deism believes that God created the world and pretty much walked away from it, letting people kind of do their own things, and does not get personally involved in people's lives. But he just created and then walked away. 4 years later, because he was not satisfied with what deism was bringing to his life, he decided that he needed to go to the Word and discover what truth was. And he began in an intense, consistent, thorough, and systematic investigation of Scripture. And after 2 years of meticulous, intense Bible study, he came to a stunning conclusion. And that was that Jesus Christ was going to come back in the year 1843, and he was going to come back and take his followers to be with him in heaven. That was approximately 25 years in the future. And so, through a lot of miraculous events, a long story shorter, he felt like he needed to share this message. If Jesus was coming, then he needed to tell people, because they needed to be ready. And he started preaching throughout the country. And as a result, a lot of people accepted his message. And it was a time later that, through the influence of two other really incredibly gifted Bible students, that he was led to believe that Jesus Christ was not only coming around the year, in the year 1843, but he was led to believe through the interpretation of certain prophecies that Jesus was coming on October 22, 1844, on that very day. Historians estimate that there was some 100,000 Millerites, as they were called, people who believe that Jesus was coming again. There were over 100,000 Millerites who believed that Jesus was coming and prepared to meet him on October 22, 1844. This is an outcropping in upstate New York. It's now known as Ascension Rock. It's right near a little chapel, Miller's Chapel, or church. And on October 22, 1844, the core Millerite believers gathered on this rock and waited for Jesus to come. Some of them had quit their jobs, sold their farms. They didn't need them anymore because Jesus was coming on October 22, 1844. The day came and went, and Jesus did not come. And it was such a bitter experience for those people that they ended up calling this the Great Disappointment. And after that disappointing day came and gone, some of them, the Millerites, were so disillusioned and so bitter about the experience that they gave up their Christian faith entirely and said it was all a fable. There were others who just went back to their normal lives before they believed that Jesus was coming. However, there was a third group. There was a third group who decided to engage in intense Bible study and prayer to seek answers to why Jesus had not come on that day. And as a result of their sincere prayer and Bible study, they discovered some Bible truths that had gotten lost through the years. One of them, that Jesus was coming again. Another one was that the true Bible Sabbath is the seventh day of the week. And so this group who believed that Jesus was coming soon and who were observing the seventh day Sabbath as a day of worship, they became aware, if they were going to grow and they were going to be effective in telling the world this message, that they needed to organize. They needed to organize as a denomination. And the first step was to choose a name. And the name that they chose was Seventh-day Adventist. Seventh day, referring to their belief that the Sabbath, the seventh day Sabbath, is the day to worship on, and Adventist having to do with their belief in the fact that Jesus is coming again. And in 1863, in Battle Creek, Michigan, and here's a picture of the gathering where this was officially voted. The church was officially inaugurated on that day in 1863. And at that point in time, there were 3,500 baptized Seventh-day Adventists worldwide. There were only 30 pastors, 30 Seventh-day Adventist pastors in 1863. Well, fast forward, and currently today, there are over 18 million Seventh-day Adventist members worldwide. Over 18 million. It makes Seventh-day Adventism the 12th largest religious group in the world. So that's a little history on how the Seventh-day Adventist denomination came to be. Now, I have been a lifelong Adventist. You, or many of you probably know that I was born into an Adventist home. My dad was an Adventist pastor. And so I've been an Adventist all my life. This is the only church that I've ever known. I get paid to preach and to talk about Seventh-day Adventism and to give Bible studies and to move people toward making a decision to join this church. You expect that of me because I'm paid to do that, and you hear me speak every Sabbath. But I thought it would be really encouraging to hear the experience from someone else that may have a different experience than me. Because there are some great stories in the people of this church who call the Seventh-day Adventist Church their home. So, Ronald Mattson, I would invite you to come up at this point in time. Have a seat.
Thanks.
That's a hot seat, man. So, we have something in common. We're both named Ron. So this is Ron, and I'm Moron.
Yeah.
So,
is this on?
Can we give him some microphone, please? Give it a tester.
Hello.
Okay, you're hot now. So, Ron, I have some questions for you. Stay on task now. Stay on task.
Is this going to hurt?
No. It won't hurt at all. Were you born into a Seventh-day Adventist family?
No.
No? Well, how did you become a Seventh-day Adventist? And put the mic right there by your chin so we can record this.
Okay.
Tell us about your life journey.
Well, most of my life in church, come on. Most of my life in church has been Pentecostal. And how I became an Adventist was, about 8 years ago, a flyer came in the mail, and it was a seminar for this church. Tyler Long was coming, and it was about prophecy. I've always loved prophecy when I've been in church. So then the battle began. Yeah, you should go. No, you shouldn't. You've been through all this before. The reason I left church is because I'd had it up to here with the cliques, the... If you don't do this, you're not that. So I had no intentions of ever coming back to church. So I came to the seminar, and about the third day, two lights clicked on, was worshiping on the Sabbath, and communion thing about washing your feet and all that. Oh, sorry. So those two lights clicked on, and also on the third day, the evening before I came, I got a phone call from a guy named Carl, and he works on the ship on the 1091. So their welder had just walked away. So Carl anyway, I had sold the boat. He had the paperwork. I needed to sign some paperwork. Got to talking, and he said, do you know Dr. Ralph Davis? I said, no, I'm going to their seminars. But so Carl immediately called Ralph, and Ralph came up to me that third day, and now I'm been a love fest ever since.
Right. Now, had you been baptized before, or I wasn't here when you entered the church, so.
Yes, I got baptized. My wife and I.
Here?
Several of us that were coming to the.
Really? Right up there?
Right up there.
Wow. Do you remember when this was?
No. Sometime in
about you said about eight years ago, wasn't it?
8 years ago.
Okay.
Now, the reason I'm still an Adventist.
Yeah,
like I said, the communion, the washing of the feet, the humbleness of that. And shortly after, my wife and I got baptized. I don't know, 3 or 4 months into that, my wife has a massive heart attack. And during the day of the surgery, I mean, these people didn't really know us. But about 11 of you, some of them are here today, were there with me for 11 hours. Wow. It was the first church I've ever been, really, really walk the talk. So that's why I'm still here. And that's my story.
Well, I, for one, love you. I love that this church has unique characters. Because my view of church is that God has made us all so unique. And you are unique, buddy. Come around Christmas time and see his lights in his hat, and you'll see what a unique guy.
That's another thing. You guys put up with me. I mean, I am a unique. I'm a class clown. I admit it. And that's who I am. And you guys have accepted that, so.
More than accept that, we love you and value, and we see you. You greet. What all do you do in the church? Tell people how you've gotten involved. Not just a pew warmer, but you've gotten involved. What all have you been able to do?
Well, since I'm an ex-soldier, George asked me, "Do you want to be a deacon?" I said, "What do I got to do?" And I said, "Sure." And then they wanted me to be a Walmart greeter. And I said, sure, I'm down with that. And now I do security, and I'm really liking that. But I'll do anything you ask me.
He's not only a deacon, but he comes one month, you have, you're like in charge here until you open up. And so it's a joy, and he comes in my office and usually has some words of wisdom for me. And we have a common interest in sports, so he's always asking me about this and that. We do have a little difference of opinion in basketball. But, Ron, you have been just such a blessing here, I tell you. And I hope that you are being half as blessed by us as we're feeling blessed by you, and I can't even imagine this church without you being in it. You are just, you're a special friend of mine. Let's give him
up. That goes both ways.
Well, thank you. Affirm him for sharing. In this series, it's going to be 6 more weeks. We're going to talk about not only what Adventists are. According to Ron, we must be somewhat loving, or at least some of us, because he stuck around and he felt our love. And I wish I'd have been here to be a part of the 11-hour group, because I would have been there too. And I know many of you, given the chance. I can sort of believe that. So during this series, you're going to hear some more testimonies from some people who I think have been positively impacted by the Seventh-day Adventist Church, if not the denomination, this particular church. And again, we have so much good to celebrate. So much good to celebrate. And again, the church is not perfect, but we are a called and a blessed people. And it is a joy to be a part of that and to have you consider this as your church home. Let's pray. Loving Father, thank you so much for bringing Ron Mattson here. Can't imagine this church without him. And I know that there are others that you're drawing to this church. And Lord, thank you for calling this church and giving it a special mission and message. The easiest thing, Lord, would be to just float down the river and not buck the current. But you've called us to stand for some things that the world doesn't accept right now. So, Lord, thank you for your leading and your guiding. And as we talk about what it means to be an Adventist, I ask that all of us be committees of one to show that first and foremost, Seventh-day Adventists are people who really love God and really love other people. And I ask this in Jesus' name.